exciting what God is doing in the lives of people as we're reaching the world with hope and healing. And let's just give the Lord another hand for those 25 people who expressed their life in Jesus Christ. It's super exciting to see 25 people of all different ages out on the beach for a beach baptism. And so many of you came as well and braved the Sunday afternoon beach crowd and parking. It was pretty exciting out there. But we're just glad to see what God is doing. And if we haven't met before, my name is John, and I'm so thankful to be with all of you today. And if you're a guest with us, we're so thankful that God has brought you here. I'm looking forward to our endless summer lunch and activities. You know you're a wild church when you have to warn all the adults in the room that if you're over 5, you can't go in the bounce house, all right? So that was awesome. And we got a full house today, except for the front row. So if anybody needs a seat, there's a row right here for anyone out here. Well, a lot of times when we get into the Word of God together on a Sunday morning, what I love doing is taking a passage of Scripture that God gives us and walking through verse by verse and pulling out his timeless eternal principles for our life today in Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that today, but a little bit differently. We're going to take a little bit more of what I like to call a shotgun approach. And we're going to look at some very specific verses that God has been putting on my heart that talk about some specific topics that I want to share as one of the pastors here to you as part of our church family. Whether you've been coming for one Sunday, this is your first day, or whether you're joining us for the very, or have been with us for a really long time. And in essence, what we're going to do this morning is pause for a moment before the Lord in the Word of God and ask him to lead us. And in Psalm 39, verse 5, that verse begins with this word. It's the word behold. And so many times, some of you are good out there, when there's a behold word in the Bible, God is wanting us to see what's going to come right after it. And so sometimes I invite all of you after I say behold to say behold out loud. But I've got you so well trained, sometimes I'll read a behold and forget and you like scare me and I'm not ready for it. So I'm going to train us all a little bit today. After I say behold, you say?
Behold.
Except you got to say it louder because there's a lot of you in the room. I say behold, you say?
Behold.
Here we go. Psalm 39, verse 5. Behold, you've made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. And Psalm 39 is reminding us that life goes quickly. Anybody feel like life is going quickly right now? Let's see some hands out there. See, I know that life is going quickly because my beautiful bride and I, Amy, we are going to experience something in our parenting in about 2 weeks that we have never experienced before in our parenting life or in our married life, and that is that we are going to become officially empty nesters. Now, this is a moment, okay? So our second child by a minute, we have twins, if you don't know my family, Jessica, she's been home with us for the summer, but she just left yesterday, and we celebrated and were sad all at the same time because she's starting grad school at Cal State Fullerton, and so she went off to school with her car stuffed full of things. And our firstborn daughter, Katie, by a minute, she's the leader in our family because they're twins. But she got a first job out of college at the beginning of summer in Santa Barbara, and she's been with us for this summer. But she is moving to Santa Barbara next weekend or sometime during this week. And we're so excited for both of them. And then Josh, our youngest, who isn't so young anymore, he's 18 years old. He's beginning his freshman year at Biola, and he leaves on Friday, August 30th. And I'm pretty sure, as excited as Amy and I are about our next season together in life and all the excitement that holds for us, I'm pretty sure on our drive home from dropping our youngest off at college, after that event happens, we may need some soul care from some of you out in the room. And I know some of you have come up to me after I've said things like this, and those of you who are farther ahead than me, and you go, well, I have a warning for you. They come back. Either way, life goes quickly. It feels, yeah, and it feels like it was just yesterday we were dropping our kids off at preschool, just like so many parents did in this room for the first time for our preschool orientation this last week that happened. I mean, it feels like yesterday that I began as the lead pastor here, but it's actually been 2 years as of last week. It feels like yesterday that Pastor Danny, our executive pastor, began with us, but he's been with us for 4 months. It feels like yesterday that I had hair. But it's been a lot longer than that. It feels like yesterday that I had pizza. And well, in fact, I did have pizza yesterday. But Psalm 39 verse 5 says this, "Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, Selah." And it uses this word, this Hebrew word, which invites us to pause. Where the people of God, when they would read this psalm or read or sing a psalm together, would pause before the Lord afterward and listen. And listen to his guidance and listen through the Spirit for his perspective on the moment that we are in. And so today, I want to pause with you and give you what I'm going to call invitations from the Word of God, from my heart to you as one of your pastors, whether you're joining us for the very first time or been with us for a really long time. And so we're going to read the three verses we're going to look at this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God, and then we are going to pause and pray before the Lord together. We're starting in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, and this is God's living Word for us this morning. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Would you pray with me? Take a moment to pause before the Lord and ask him to invite you into his word today. Lord, with hearts full, Lord, we invite you to speak to us through your living word this morning. And God, we ask you to clear away the clutter, and we ask you to speak through your Spirit right where we need to hear you. And we humble ourselves asking for that today, God, knowing that you want to give it to us. I thank you for everybody in the room today, some for the very first time. Thank you for those listening online. We ask for your blessing in this moment. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as I have been interacting with people this summer and really listening to what's going on in the election cycle that we are in, and quite frankly, it's been a fascinating election cycle for us, and every election period is a crucial period for us as a nation. And as I have been watching what's going on in the world around us, nation to nation, looking at some of the hardships that have been faced around the world, and as a church family, as we have been walking with some of our loved people in our church family who have walked through sudden and really difficult losses this summer, just in many times and many different ways, I have felt the Lord just wanting to share some things that are close to my heart to share with you. And that's what I want to do this morning with these invitations. And the first one is simple and yet profound. And it's this, Encounter Family. Love louder. Love louder. With our words and with our lives, starting where we live and taking a step farther into our community and into our world. And as I look at the world around us and reaching the world with hope and healing that Jesus Christ offers, I just believe with all of my heart that God wants us as a church family to love louder, listening to the Spirit, inspired by the Spirit's leading in our life, to do that in new ways and with new levels of passion. Philippians 1:9 says this again, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." And that is my prayer for my life in this season. That is my prayer for you in this season, that our love for people will grow because our love for Jesus Christ is growing at the same time, and that we will love people louder through Christ than we ever have before. And the verse says, may our love abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. And that phrase, more and more, literally reads, may it superabound. In fact, starting next Sunday when we begin our Choose Joy series, we're going to be jumping deeper into the book of Philippians. And I just got to tell you how thankful I am for Pastor Jacob this morning. He picked that new song, The Joy, that we sang earlier. That song captures so many powerful eternal truths from the book of Philippians. I can't wait to not only sing that song more, but sing that song with our life as we learn from the Word of God in this series. But I am convinced that our families and our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers need us to love a little bit louder than we have in the past, because there's so much noise in the world right now. And when I say louder, that doesn't mean, what I'm not saying is that we have to be the loudest people in the room with our voices. Although sometimes it actually does work. When you yell at someone, you say, hey, I love you, and you say it at the top of your lungs. Sometimes we need to do that as well. But what I'm actually saying, more importantly, is that our love through Christ will be the loudest thing in the room. And some examples of just following and being inspired by the Spirit to do that this last summer that have captured my heart have been, one of those has been our Treasured Harvest ministry team. And some of our Encounter youth who, for the very first time, listening to the Spirit's leading over a long period of time, did a vacation Bible school at a migrant camp in Oxnard. Talk about being inspired by our youth to use our words and our lives to proclaim the love and the message of Jesus Christ all at the same time in a brand new way that we've never done before. I can't tell you how many times God has used my children to inspire me to love people in a new way, in a louder way. One of my favorite examples was, it happened when Josh was 16 years old. We were living in Tracy, where we lived at the time, and we had gone out to dinner for a meal and some Bible study together. And we, you know, by the way, parents in the room, if you want to have a great Bible study with your teenager, there's two ingredients you can never forget. Here's what they are. Secret sauce right here. Fries and a burger. Just telling you, it's the foundation for a great Bible study with your teenager. We happened to be at Denny's on this particular evening, and we had just enjoyed pancakes. And we had finished, had a good time talking, and then we pulled out our Bible and simple little study we were doing. We just read a couple of verses, talked about them, and we were getting ready to pray together. And our server came to the table, and she was clearing some things away, and she saw the Bible. And you could see her pause for a moment, and she looked at it, and she goes, kind of sheepishly, "Is that a Bible?" And my son, without skipping a beat, with a loud voice and a smile, says, "Well, yes, it is, because this is Bible Study Monday," which is what we called our every other week devotion time together at the time. But he didn't stop there. He looked right at me, and he pointed at me, and he said, "And you are talking to the pastor." And then he proceeded to go on, and he actually invited her to church on that Sunday. Now, I got to tell you, many times when God serves up an opportunity like that, when someone asks you a question and you're out in public, I usually don't lead with that I'm a pastor. Sometimes that ruins it. Sometimes it doesn't. But for my son, Josh, and for my children, me being a pastor, it's what I do. It's like you being a teacher or someone else being an engineer or a doctor or something like that. And this was one of those Jesus moments, and I'm so thankful that God used one of my children to inspire me about how we can love someone louder and to love this woman who God brought into our life that evening enough to invite her into a community of people that are chasing after and living in the living hope of Jesus Christ. And this was one of those Jesus encounter moments because she really wasn't very busy in the room, and she started talking to us and she started sharing her story. And we were just so thankful that she began to share, and she began to talk about someone she had lost in her life who had died and the grief she was walking through. And she shared how she really can't come anywhere on Sunday. She works on Sundays. And she began asking about other things in our church. And so we ended up inviting her to our grief share ministry that we had, much like the grief share ministry here at Encounter. And you know what? God was moving because she came. And over time, she got to know people. And she began to experience the freedom that only Jesus Christ gives through living in community with other people who love him. And I'm so thankful that God used one of our teenagers at the time to show me how to love a little bit louder in that moment. And there's so much noise in our nation right now, and it's only going to get louder as we enter the heart of a political season that is crucial for our nation. But as important as all that is, I just believe the Lord wants us to love louder the people in our life with our words and with our lives, starting right where we live and taking a step farther. And a little more love in that way very well may be, with the help of Jesus Christ, the loudest and most profound thing in the room that you're in at the time. And there is someone in your life right now, someone in this church right now, someone in your neighborhood, in your place of work, that God is inviting you to love a little louder than you ever have before with the love of Jesus Christ. May our love abound more and more, Encounter, as we finish the summer and begin a new season in the fall together. Another invitation that I want to share with you is this: forgive faster. Forgive faster. With our words and with our lives, starting right where we live and taking a step farther. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Anyone have any complaints in the room right now? Anyone have any complaints for me? I don't know of any, but if you do, it's okay. Anybody feeling the grumbles right now? Something happened to you and it just hurt you and it's caused some division. I am convinced that with the rise of inflation over the last few years, which is about 20% plus, that along with that rise of inflation, there's been an equal rise of 20% plus of unforgiveness. Now, I can't prove it scientifically, but anecdotally, I really do believe I can prove it. When you look around our lives right now and you look at what's happening from friend to friend and neighbor to neighbor and nation to nation and political party to political party, husband to wife, you name it, and without forgiveness, we can live with people and be more isolated than we've ever been before in our life. In fact, unforgiveness is one of the most isolating tools of the enemy. And yet, on the flip side, forgiveness is one of the most powerful, life-giving tools and fruit of the good news of Jesus Christ that God has given us and to restore community. And usually what I experience with people when it comes to conflict with one another, if you want to use the 20% rule, is often something happens between two people or two groups of people, and somebody does something, and we feel like they're 80% at fault, But because of what they started, so then our 20%, we go, well, I don't really want to forgive them, which lets them still have some power over us. And I'm not going to initiate anything unless they do, because they started it and they're 80% at fault. And yet, if we will bring our 20% and actually come to God and say, God, I need your help forgiving in this situation, and we'll come to that person with our 20%, even though we feel like they're 80% at fault, but if we'll bring our 20%, which in reality is probably more like 51%, but don't tell anybody. But if we will bring that and authentically come to them and say those really, really powerful words that God so much has to help us to be able to say, and say this, no matter what their results are, no matter what their response is, but with God's help, say this: I am so sorry. Would you forgive me? And in that moment, you've opened the door for God to work in your life first, regardless of what they choose to do in that moment. And we ask God's help in it. And look at the foundation of it. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And if you're newer to Encounter, one of the things you need to know about us as a church is there's some things around here that we really value. And there's one that we value more than everything else, and it's this: to be locked in on Jesus. And this is what I mean by that. It means because he is our answer. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our God. And he is our best friend, which always blows my mind, no matter how long I walk with the Lord, that I get to be best friends with Jesus Christ, along with all the other things he does in leading me as my great shepherd. I'm also blown away by his endless grace and his forgiveness. And the beginning of forgiveness for us always begins with realizing that we are broken sinners before a holy God, and that we have been forgiven by the utter free gift of grace through Jesus Christ. And God loves to remind us and say, hey, I come to you with all my grace, and it's endless. And I actually came to you first by sending my son in front of me to come to this earth and to die for you, to live for you and die for you and rise for you, and to come into your life upon your invitation and begin to make all things new and give you a brand new heart. And forgiveness is this personal decision where you choose to give up the right to punish someone. And you say, God, I'm going to leave that in your hands. And if I have experienced anything in forgiveness, is that usually forgiveness is granted long before it is felt. And the angrier we are at people, usually the less we really understand the heart of the good news of Jesus. And the more we understand the good news of Christ, the less angry we become at people. And if I've observed anything, and all I've had the privilege of being in many different situations where you're having to resolve conflict between two people or two groups of people, and what I have seen happen is that if two people or two groups of people will use the tool and the power of the gospel of forgiving one another, it really doesn't matter how different you are. It doesn't matter how different your personalities are. All those things don't matter anymore, because God can bring new life and new relationship when two parties are using that tool together. My wife Amy and I would share with certainty that God has grown us and our ability to forgive in our marriage. Part of it came because a few years ago, she realized that she's wrong 100% of the time. And that I'm always right. And you know how not true that is. I get the 99%, I'll admit it, all the way. But it's been a growth journey for us. But it's a tool that the good news of Christ gives us in our tool belt that God wants us to use. And I just sense that for a lot of us, in one area or another, God is just saying, forgive faster. Forgive faster with our words and with our lives. And the final invitation is this: from my heart to yours, as we begin a new season of the fall together, and it is to dive deeper. Dive deeper into Jesus Christ and the fullness of his goodness with our words and with our lives, starting right where we live and taking it a step further out there. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It is a promise we can take him to the bank on. And right now, as part of our church family, whether you're brand new today or been here for a while, we are entering this season where there are all of these opportunities as God is using all of you for us to experience Jesus encounters together. One of those ways is starting with the Choose Joy message series next Sunday. I hope you'll come back for it. Also, as Danny shared earlier, we have our life groups that are starting. And by the way, being in a life group doesn't mean you're signed up for life. Don't worry, okay? It means that you get to do life together. It's where friendships are built around people who are rooted in the scripture together and leaning into the Lord together. And our group launch is just around the corner, and you can sign up online for some of the groups already. Plus, WOW is beginning, Women of the Word, and oh man, God does so many great things through WOW. Along with that, we have MomCo starting up again in a few weeks, and MomCo this year, we've got a morning time and an evening time, and for moms of all ages and stages, you can go to either one, and MomCo is all about introducing moms to the healing power of Jesus. Along with that, Encounter Youth started up this week, which is super exciting over here. What a start they had this last week. This is awesome to see what the Lord is doing. After a summer of so many great and fun activities, they're back weekly on Wednesday nights. And then along with that, every Thursday, really for the last 25 years, we have Celebrate Recovery. And anyone in our church family, we can all bring our hurts, habits, and hang-ups on Thursday evenings and experience the growing freedom of Jesus Christ. And it may be that one of the ways that God wants you to dive deeper in him right now is actually to serve on one of our ministry teams. And actually, as you do that, begin to hear God's voice about what is the message, what's part of your purpose in discovering your life message as you do that and making a difference for the Lord as you're serving him in some capacity. One of the things that's happening in the field house right now is we have wedding on the brains in our house. As I shared last Sunday, our daughter Jessica, so number two by a minute, she got engaged not too long ago, and we're so happy for her and her fiance, and thinking about all those things for the first time in our family. Along with that, though, the day before Jessica, my sister got engaged. My sister's never been married. She's 51 years old and met this great godly man. I'm so happy for her as well. Not only that, a couple weeks before that, my niece got engaged. And not only that, there's a couple I've been meeting with for a while now, and I'm so excited to officiate their wedding in just a few weeks from now. And so over the next 9 months, I get to be a part of 4 wedding celebrations. This is going to be amazing. But there's this wedding energy in the Field extended family right now. It's probably what made me think of this wedding story. It's a true story. It happened in Australia. And this is what happened. The wedding ceremony took place, and they were right on the beach. And afterwards, the reception was beginning, but the wedding party was taking pictures, and they were on this ledge overlooking this beautiful stretch of ocean water. It was very rough, though. And this woman, young woman who was a bystander, was watching, not part of the wedding party, and she fell into the ocean. And she began to be pulled out to sea. Obviously, wasn't a strong swimmer. Before long, everybody could tell that her body was looking lifeless. In that moment, the best man in a full tuxedo jumps into the wild surf and begins to swim out there through the rough water, retrieves her body, begins to swim her back. As he's getting closer to shore, the bride, who's a trained nurse, wades out into the water in her wedding dress, helps bring this woman to shore and performs CPR, and they save her life. It was awesome. Now, right after that glorious moment, the soaking wet bride and the soaking wet best man rejoined the wedding celebration. And by the way, that's basically what we do every week here at Encounter. We come on a Sunday morning, we dive deep into Jesus Christ, we are rooted in the scriptures. And then we go and live for him and worship him all week long, and we come back and do that again. And it's the same thing God has done for us. Is Jesus left the celebration of heaven and came down to this broken earth to save us and invite us into life with him so that we could be a part of the great wedding feast of the Lamb in that moment. And as we pause together today, one of the things that verse goes on to say is that when we repent, when we open up our life and our brokenness before the truth and the goodness of Jesus Christ, inviting his healing, his cleansing, that verse says, when we humble ourselves before his goodness and his greatness, he lifts us up to new life in him. It says, draw near to God, verse 8 in chapter 4 of James, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. God loves it when we open up our hearts to him, especially when we bring the tough things of our life to him and expose them to the light of his grace and his love. And as we do, as we humble ourselves before his greatness and his love, he lifts us up as he is changing our heart. I want to finish with this. It's from one of the Chronicle Narnia series books. It's the third one. The Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis. And there's a character in that book, and his name is Eustace. And he's a young boy, and he's 12 years old. And Eustace is one of those boys that doesn't like anybody. He's selfish. He's mean. No one really likes him. And he goes on this great journey on a ship called the Dawn Treader. And they're out on this voyage, and they come to this island. And Eustace goes off on his own exploring, and he finds a cave. And inside the cave is this great treasure, this pile of endless treasure. And Eustace thinks to himself, I am rich. My life is going to change forever. All those people who were laughing at me and stepping on me, now I am going to have the power to laugh at them and step on them. And the story goes on to say that he falls asleep on top of this pile of treasure, not realizing that it belongs to this dragon. And when he wakes up in the morning, he has become this big, horrible, ugly dragon. And there's nothing he can do about it. He's alone. He can't get back to the ship. He's losing all hope. He's thinking, I'm going to be this big, ugly, horrible dragon the rest of my life. And then this lion comes into his life. His name is Aslan. And Aslan leads Eustace, this big, ugly dragon Eustace, to this clear pool of water. And he says, Eustace, undress and jump in. And Eustace thinks, well, undress? Well, I need to get my dragon skin off. And so he starts clawing at his dragon skin and biting at his dragon skin. He tries it 3 times. And every time he peels off a layer, there's another layer of dragon skin underneath. Until finally, the lion, Aslan, comes to him. He says, Eustace, you have to let me do it. And you have to let me use my claws. And this is what Eustace says in that moment. It says, I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you. But I was pretty nearly desperate now. The very first tear he made went so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling his skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I'd done it myself before the other 3 times, only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, lying in the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more knobbly looking than the others had been. And then he threw me in the pool, and it smarted like anything, but only for a moment. And then I saw I had become a boy again. So many times we think we can somehow save ourselves. We think that somehow we can take care of the dragon skin and brokenness of our life before a holy God, those those ugly things that sometimes damage the people we love most in life. And yet Jesus came to this world to tell us, based on what he did on the cross for us and dying for our sins, that we actually have to invite him into our life and his claws into our life. The claws that maybe we've feared for a long time. Things that we've never really understood about who Jesus is. And as we do that, invite Christ into our life and our heart, what we begin to learn is that those claws that we feared or that we didn't understand or that we resisted before are really made up of his endless love, his endless grace, and his power to take something dead and raise it to new life. And his power to come into our life and give us a new heart with new desires. And yet, even after we do that, sometimes those old, ugly skin things, pieces will appear again. Maybe it's something that we just weren't quite ready to give to God before. Maybe it's something that just kind of crawled back into our life. And so Jesus, like the lion, will say, okay, time to dive into the pool again. Into my goodness, into the truth of my scripture, and to trust me as I make you new once again by my power and grace. Encounter family, as we finish the summer, have a great lunch together today, and enter a new season, may we love louder with our words and with our lives, starting right where we live and taking a step farther into our community and our world. May our love abound more and more as we're growing in the love of Jesus Christ. And may we forgive faster than we ever have before, and live in the freedom that God gives us in that. And finally, may we dive deeper into the pool. Into the pool of who Jesus is, his goodness, his truth, and his grace. And then may we watch to see what the Spirit does. Let's pray. Lord, we want to just say thank you. Thank you for your claws that are grace and love and truth and goodness. Thank you for loving us all the way to this world and to the grave and out again. Thank you for the new life you invite us to. May we be inspired by your Spirit to love louder than we ever have before in your name, with our words and our lives, in our homes and in our community. And we thank you for your forgiveness. And we ask you to give us soft hearts and discerning hearts with wisdom, as the passage says. And that you would empower us to forgive faster, regardless of the results on the other side. But that you would lead us as we lead the way. And Jesus, we just want you to know, we want to dive deeper into you. There's nothing better. We want to be locked in on you in greater ways than anything else. Thank you for being the answer. Thank you for being our best friend. And Lord, as we have a meal together in just a moment, we just thank you for it and the blessing of being a family. Amen.